Well, good morning, everybody. I'm so glad to be back in the house of the Lord with my family here. Thank you for praying for us. I know it works because my mom's here today. She's been struggling all week with her arm. So thank you for keeping her in prayer. Thank you for keeping my dad in prayer and for me in prayer. It really is wonderful, so thank you. I just kind of was reading the front of the announcement here and caught that, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. I think that's something to think about, what we do every day, what we kind of participate in. Keep it focused on Him. Some of the announcements, Michaela Case, happy birthday coming up this week. So if you can, maybe reach out to her and wish her a happy birthday. There's an important business meeting on September 11th. If you can, we're reminding every member to please attend. It's not in this fellowship hall. It's not in this fellowship hall. It's actually over in the adult classroom with lots of chairs. So please put that on your calendar and plan on attending. It's at 6 p.m. On September 11th, which is a Wednesday, I believe. Sunday schools, Lou Toth is teaching out of 2 Kings. Again, so please come if you can. There's some service opportunities, greeters, people to hand out bulletins and things like that. It's very important. My dad and my nephew got to go to church in Florida. He might mention that in his statement, but a greeter. What a difference it makes, doesn't it, Dad? They weren't greeted until the last minute. So it's very important. They're, used to a lot of tourists, so you would think there would be someone there to kind of direct you to where you need to go in a brand new facility. So it is a very important aspect, and we love having people just welcome you when you come in. Makes you feel right at home. Find out about you. I want you to look around. Maybe you can see someone that you know that's missing today. Say a little prayer and reach out to them. They might need something. They might need your word. They might need a little attention and help. Brother Rick's got a back going out right now, so remember him, please, in your prayers. And his chemo's going much better, so thank you for that, Lord. The prayer request is on the back. Again, keep that on your refrigerator. That's the easiest place. A little magnet. Every time you open that door, just pick a name off there and say a little prayer with them. Speaking of prayer, let's open today in a word prayer. Dear God, we just want to thank you so very much for allowing us to come and worship today. We want to thank you so very much for each family that's represented here today. There's a special blessing when we come together as a church family and worship together. Dear God, I just pray a special anointing on Pastor Mike this morning as he breaks your word. It's for someone here today that needs to hear that. We ask that you please be with us as we travel, get back into the swing of things, schools and works and jobs. So please keep us safe as we do our daily activities. Just be with us and anoint us in your presence today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
My strength is in you. Lord. My strength is in you, Lord. My hope is in you, Lord. In you, it's in you. My life is in you, Lord. My strength is in you, Lord. My hope is in you, Lord. In you, it's in you.
Together once again this morning in your name, Lord, to worship you as your Bible says, in spirit and in truth. We thank you for those that have chosen to come this way this morning, Lord, and pray for a special blessing upon each one of them. We pray for our pastor as he imparts your word to us, Lord, that we might be able to go forth, Lord, and lead a life that would be what you would want us to be as we are called Christians. Lord, we pray for our nation. We pray for the for this election year, Lord, that that you'll be instrumental in what happens there, and I know that you will. I pray for Israel. We know, God, that she's your chosen people, and you're not going to let anything happened to her, Lord, that would not be in your will. So God, be with us, God, as we continue in this worship service this morning. Bless the offering, Lord. Use it to your glory. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. His oath is covenant, his blood support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all the ground is sinking sand, all other ground is sinking. When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand. Jesus, my Lord, will love me forever. From him now to ransom my soul. Now I belong to Him. Now I belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to me. Not for the years of time alone, but for eternity. I was lost in sin's degradation. Jesus came down to bring me salvation, lifted me up from sorrow and shame. Now I belong to Him. Now I belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to me, not for the years of time alone, but for eternity. Joy floods my soul, for Jesus has saved me, freed me from sin that long had enslaved me. His precious blood He gave to redeem. Now I belong to Him. Now I belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to me. Not for the years of time alone, but for eternity.
Amen. Thank you, guys. If you have your Bible, turn over to 1 Timothy chapter 2 this morning. I'm going to be reading from there. As you're turning, I just want to thank you for all the good things that you have done in our lives. As we return from vacation, we have just been inundated with all kinds of food. Unbelievable. Do you think I need to eat more? I guess so. I have been anyway. It's good stuff, boy. I'll tell you, bring that good stuff over. Thank you very much. Thank you for your prayers gone back and forth. We had a safe trip down, and I think a pretty good trip. We stayed in Fort Walton Beach. It was pleasant there. We went to First Baptist Church on Sunday and in Fort Walton Beach, and we actually went to First Baptist in Niceville years and years ago, which was a church plant of that church. But I was coming up to the door trying to find the Sunday school door. It's a huge church. I heard these two guys talking, and so I was trying to be patient and ask them, you know, how do I get to Sunday school or something like that. And the one guy said, well, $52 million. He said, that's what we plan to give this year for starting churches in Northwest Florida. I thought to myself, 52 million? That's a pretty good little chunk of change. They actually said that in the worship service. One of the things that I did not know, because we went to First Baptist in Nashville, was that First Baptist in Fort Walton Beach has had a hand in every Baptist church in Northeast Florida. Isn't that amazing? Amazing. And, of course, one of the things the guy that was going in the building said, he said, well, God trusts us to put this in the right spot. And I thought, amen. Okay, well, the little bit of thing there, I don't know if you had any idea what I was talking about, but nevertheless, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 says, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplication, prayers, intercession, and giving thanks be made for who? All men. For kings and for all they that are in the authority, that may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Wherefore, Paul says, I am ordained a preacher and an apostle. I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of Gentiles in faith and verity. Father, we thank you for your word, for preserving it for us, for raising up people over the centuries who have voluntarily stepped forward and said, Lord, I don't know how you can use me, but I'm available if you can. And you have, and we thank you for that. Ask you to be with us here this day, that we draw our hearts and minds to your word, because it is there that we will find the strength that the Holy Spirit will use to infuse that in our lives and make us the kind of people we need to be, strong, obedient, faithful, and speaking the truth in love. So, Lord, be with us. We need a special touch from you, not only here at Calvary, but throughout our nation. And we pray, Father, that you will do just that. For these things we ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Friends, this morning I want to begin by saying something. I still believe that America is the greatest nation on the face of the earth. I still believe that. Now you say, how can I say that? Well, it's not just because we have lots of natural resources. We have been blessed with lots of natural resources. We've been told many times lately that we have some of the greatest oil reserves in all the world. Be a good thing you might be able to use them, bring prices of oil down, and take away the power from the Saudis and some of those folks and Iranians. But anyway, it's not just natural resources. Other nations have natural resources. And it is not just that we have people with good ideas. Every nation has creative people who have purpose and creative minds. Every nation has hardworking people. Every nation has those kind of folks who are, we might call dreamers, that they project out and look to see what that nation can do under God's leadership. I believe there's just one overriding, most important principle, and it's this. God, in his grace, has chosen this nation because he begun with this nation, and not since Israel has God done something like that. America, I believe, was founded by God. Now, you might say to yourself, I don't like that. I don't care. I still believe it. I believe that God Almighty chose America. He inspired the founders who wrote our Constitution. I remember when I was in college, there was a whole lot of negative remarks being made about George Washington and some of the founding fathers. They truly weren't interested establishing a nation that was going to be a witnessing nation for God. Nothing could try to be from the truth. It always seems like the devil and his gang always brings out the opposite and uses that to pollute our minds and cause us to have doubt. Our founding fathers were inspired by the Holy Spirit to make this nation a constitutional nation of checks and balances. They didn't want everybody having the power here or there. They wanted it to be balanced. To make laws that had scriptural basis. If you've been missing the study on Saturdays here recently, we've been looking at that. And Brother Rick has been doing an excellent job bringing forth those things, showing us that these founding fathers looked to the scripture. They looked for guidance from God. That's how that happened. Men and women equipped from God to make a nation. They didn't know that, but that's what they were doing. And we call those founding fathers, great men like George Washington. Contrary to what you have been taught in school or in media for the last probably 40 or 50 years, George Washington was not some sort of self-centered, egotistical person. He was a brave soldier, though. He actually was in battle. He had three horses shot out of him in one particular Indian war right here in northwest Indiana. He had holes in his coat. So he had been in battle, but he was a patriot. He believed that the Bible was the word of God. And he was an unapologetic believer. You see, we will see him in heaven. He was truly a man who did not seek power, but in fact detested power. But he never sought any personal power or honor. He never sought fame whatsoever. He believed it was every American's privilege to serve in this country. This young nation feared, as you've been told many, many times, a strong central government. They feared, we feared, that the Constitution would not be strong enough. It would be trampled upon by individual rights of people who wanted to go this way or that way. They feared a monarchy. They did not want that. For what good was a revolution if you just ushered in a new king? The saying, which it sounds very pithy, but was so powerful in that particular time period in the 1700s as we were fighting, rebelling against the King of England. The saying was quite short. No king but Jesus. Now, we might not gather how important that is, but when that was reported back to George, King of England, he didn't like that. No king but Jesus, he should have been saying. But he didn't like that. Well, there were 13 colonies, original colonies, and they were apprehensive, again, like I said, about a new government that would bring in only another king. They didn't want that. If we're going to fight and we're going to do all these kind of things, we want a whole new kind of government. We want a whole new government based upon principles of the words of God, based upon the privileges we have in Christ. Their minds were put at ease with a guy like George Washington, who was the first president, of course, the only man they could felt like that they could trust with such constitutional power to begin with. That's amazing. I was taught in college that George Washington was a scoundrel. Yeah. The first thing they say was, he didn't chop down any cherry trees. Well, I don't know about that. But the other is wrong. But that was, when was that in college? How many? 150 years ago? Seemed like it. Listen, even then, that was filtrating through our colleges and universities, trying to change basic, fundamental foundations of our nation. Take those out, throw those away, put those in, say those were the thing. It was happening then. When Washington placed his hand upon the Bible, he turned to Genesis 49 because he believed that the scripture was the word of God, and he wanted to reverence God in this process of inauguration. No nation can expect to be blessed of God if we turn away from him. If a nation forgets God, forgets their principles, forgets the blessings of God, then God has the right and the privilege to give them up. Washington said, if America breaks her promise to God, she will lose God's favor, his protection, and his blessing. Is America doing just that today? I'm afraid I think so. You hear all these crazy things happening in the news. But I did see something. George Carlin, you know that guy. He was kind of avant-garde comic. But he did a little thing about paradoxes of our time. And this is what he said. He said, we have multiplied our possessions but reduced our values. We have talked too much, loved too seldom, and hated too often. We've learned how to make a living but not how to live. We've been to the moon and back, but we have trouble crossing the street to help our neighbor in trouble. We've done large things, but have we done better things? We've been cleaning up the air, but our souls remain polluted. We've learned to rush, but not to wait upon the Lord. But listen, brothers and sisters, there's a lot of terrible things going on in America, but I still believe that God Almighty is in charge. He's in charge of this country. He's in charge of this world. The God of the Bible can still restore, can still bless, can still direct, can still raise up, can still install or uninstall. If we are humbling ourselves before him, he will listen to us because he said he would. He listened to that prayer. Paul exhorts us over in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. I read it a minute ago. He says, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplication, prayers, and intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Then he tells us who these all men are. For kings, we would probably say presidents, although there's some kings still running around. For senators, for congressmen, for policemen. Don't our policemen need some prayers? Our soldiers, our nurses, our doctors, all these folks. So we can lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty, who will have all men, the scripture says, to be saved and come to the knowledge of truth. God Almighty wants every man, woman, boy, and child to come in right relationship with him. That's why he sent Jesus. To pay that sin. There's nothing in their way but your pride. There's nothing in your way but that sin that you won't let go and give to Christ. God wants all men to be saved. He wants all men to come to truth, to the knowledge of truth. We ask for God's blessing upon America. Perhaps it's our turn that we bless America. We should be good citizens, shouldn't we? I don't know about you, but I get upset. Several years ago, the football guys decided they weren't going to salute the flag and they weren't going to stand and all those kind of things. And I was so glad that there was some sort of a rumbling of, okay, then we're not watching NFL football. I don't know if that had anything to do with it, but pretty soon they decided not to show any of those clowns on the sidewalk doing all those stupid jerk things. And I think maybe they gave up. But they won't give up forever if they did. Listen. When we sing the national anthem, we should sing it with whole hearts. We should show courtesy to people around us, especially those who have a problem, so especially to the handicapped people. We should obey the law. We should go 30 miles an hour. When in the 30 mile an hour zone, you say to yourself, I've heard you say that you speed from time to time. Guilty. Guilty. I didn't say it was right. I didn't say it was right. We need to obey the law. We need to help people where we can. I want especially to thank all you for your prayers for me and my family as we came and went, traveled back and forth. And my goodness, I think we might open a restaurant. You have sent so much food by, pies, all kinds of good stuff. I had to let my bill out two more things. Well, listen, thank you very, very much for all those kind of things. We'll never be able to repay you. Never have. But Paul exhorts us that we have prayers of intercession and thanksgiving be made to all men, for every man, everywhere. And then he said specifically for kings and those with authority over us. I heard a funny little story. It's not really funny. It's one of those twisty things. A teacher went into her classroom just about 15 minutes earlier than she normally did, and she saw a bunch of boys over in the corner huddled on their knees in the corner of the room. She asked herself, what are they doing? And one of them shouted back, we're praying for you and our country. She said, "Oh my, I thought you were probably shooting dice." That's the way, isn't it? We go to the negative first. We don't believe that good things can be happening all around us, but they are. The sadness of America today, that people huddle together, but they don't huddle together for prayer. Friends, I'm not going to say everything that I believe, and you already know. This great country, this land of our fathers, that has been given so much, is facing unprecedented uncertainties in government and life. Riots in the streets, don't have to tell you about that. Fear in the homes, families breaking up. Every aspect of our lives are being challenged. Every proposal seems to be that being raised are some new challenge that are not helpful but harmful. But that doesn't mean that all solutions come from Washington, does it? Matter of fact, probably very rarely. The Democrats offer us one thing, the Republicans offer us another thing. I wish that we had some kind of a scorecard and we'd find out probably that neither one keeps their promises very long. Yet, we realize and know there is one source of truth and hope, and that source is never unfaithful. That source never promises you something that he won't bring about. That source, of course, is Jesus in the Bible. This very familiar verse says, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray." You know, on Sundays we have a little 8 o'clock prayer meeting right here at church. If you can physically be here, that would be great. If not, would you make a pledge in your life to make prayer more central? And with the idea of watching to see what God does. He says, "Seek my face, turn from your wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive your sins and heal your land." 2 Chronicles 7:14. Probably have that memorized. Will you, can you commit to that kind of prayer and that kind of commitment? We have been a great missionary nation. We have been sending missionaries all over the world, and that's a wonderful thing. Daniel says in Daniel 9, 18 and 19, "O my God, incline thine ear and hear. Open thine eyes and behold our desolation and the city which is called by thy name, for we do not want to fail." Isn't that amazing? Amazing. We present our supplications and prayers unto the Lord, but we need to do so boldly. "Lord, I expect this prayer for you to handle and make it answered. Oh Lord, hear us, forgive us, hearken to us, defer to us for our sakes and those around us, that the people may be called to thy name." We had a great time going back and forth to Florida. It's a long trip. I don't know if any of you have ever gone from here to Fort Walton Beach, but it's a little long. And we're zooming down the road back and forth and those kind of things. And it's tiring. But on occasion, things work out really good. We stopped on the way back. I didn't want to stop there. I wanted to stop on this side and in the Kentucky side, but I was exhorted to go to the hotel that was across the river, and we went there and stayed in that hotel, motel, whatever it was, and guess what? They actually had a handicapped bathroom. Not just a handrail over there by the commode, actual handicapped bathroom. We got Todd in his bath shower chair, rolled him in there. They have a lip on the bottom of that shower that's soft, and you pushed him over that lip into the shower, and then he turned on the water, And he just sat in there going like this. I don't know if he was doing that, but he was pretty close to it if he wasn't. I think that was maybe the best part of the whole trip, a shower. You know, I think sometimes we forget about those simplicities of life. I get up every morning and take a shower. That's just part of my regimen. Todd can't do that. But he did that morning. What a blessing that was. What a blessing that was. We can see blessings all around us if we open our minds. We can help each other if we open our hearts and minds. We can do the things that God would have us to do if we are obedient to what God would have us to be doing. We here at Calvary have a mission. Did you know that? A mission. Wouldn't it be something amazing? Wouldn't it have been amazing to go to those first people who mostly were military people, because for Walton Beach, Fort Walton, it was a fort, was military. One of the biggest Air Force, land Air Force bases in the world is there, Eglin Air Force Base. I was stationed at Herbert Field, Auxiliary Field 9. That means there was 8 others before you got to where we were at. We had 2 auxiliary fields. We had O2, which that was where the guys were practicing. This was during the Vietnam War. That's where the guys that were practicing to call in airstrikes out in the field took those. It was an O2. It's a funny looking little Piper Cub kind of airplane. It has a propeller in the front and a propeller in the back. I don't know who thought of that. But what it does, it's so slow, it's unbelievable. And it's so quiet, it's unbelievable. I was out in the field with those guys who were doing their practice. And, of course, once I got them there, I had nothing to do. So I pulled my truck over under some shade by the trees. I opened all 4 doors, and I laid down in the back seat, and I was just sitting there sweating, you know. But those guys were out on a mound out there in the middle of that field. And it was pure sunshine. And so I was laying in that truck, and I was thinking to myself, I wonder if I could get another soda out of their drink compartment. I'd already done that. They had a cooler and everything like that they brought out for the guys that were going on that thing. And the light colonel who was in charge of that one day opened the cooler up, and he said something about, whose lunch is this? Oh, it says driver here. And he gave me the lunch. So he wanted us all to have a prayer together, which kind of unusual, but that was really cool. And so we prayed. He blessed the food. And then he asked me, everybody else had fried chicken, potato salad, a thing of potato chips, some sort of celery and carrots and all those kind of things, and a Coke or some kind of cold beverage like that. And I didn't have any of those. I had a sandwich, peanut butter and jelly. If you'd made me peanut butter, I would not like it, but I'd like it better than peanut butter and jelly. If you'd made me jelly, I'd have been okay. And so the colonel asked me, "So what do you got in your lunch bag?" I showed him. He said, "Never again." I said, "Why never again?" So the next time I go to the mess hall to pick up that cooler to take with us out to the field, the mess hall guy says, "Who do you have in charge of this meal?" I said, "I don't know." I said, "He's a light colonel. I haven't been paying attention really about it." He said, "Well, you know what? He called me up. And he said, if you can't make everybody's meal the same one, don't make none." I thought, that's pretty cool. He said he called back 20 minutes later and says, "How's lunch coming?" And he said, I tried to tell him that I'm working on it. He said, "It better be the same for everybody." Well, I thought that was kind of cool, don't you? this guy's got to look out for me. Well, I was laying in my truck there, and it was kind of hot, and I was in the shade, and they were out there in the sun. And do you know what a T-33 is? It's a little jet airplane. It's old. It was used during the Korean War. It's towards the end of the Korean War. It was not an F-86. It was a T-33. And so I'm in my truck, and these guys are out there in the field, and they built a big mountain out there, and it's hot out there. They did have a little canopy over the top of them. It's hot over there. And these guys are out in that field, and all of a sudden, I feel, and I raised up real quickly, just in time, that T-33 came straight across on top of me. I'm sure he didn't know I was down there, and went across the top of that little bunker thing they had out there where those guys were calling in strikes, and put them all down. I don't know how far he came off the ground, but he was low. So low that they all scrambled off that hill and hit the road and everything else. And I thought it was funny because I thought, well, look at that. That's rather wild. Guys running every which way, out in the sand, kookaburras everywhere, you know. And so I was kind of smiling about that. And so, but the colonel, once I picked him up, took him to the bus, he said, you can take me home. I don't need to ride the bus. And so that's what I did. I take him home. So on the way home, he said, I suppose you saw that T-33 come over. I said, yes, sir, I did. He said, you know, he put us on the deck, didn't he? I said, yes. He said, what did you think? I said, well, he said, no, tell me what you thought. I said, well, I thought it was kind of funny, actually. You guys scrambling everywhere. He said, well, I have two choices. He said, that was a Marine pilot from Pensacola. So I can get on the phone when I get home, and I can turn him in for violating altitude and distances. He said, but he's going to Vietnam. What else could I do for him? And so he said, I'm not calling. It's amazing, isn't it? Some things like that will just turn your heart around. This guy was training people to go out in the jungle to be at the most two people, most of the time it was one, with a radio, and these people would get out there someplace, find out where the enemy was at, and call in airstrikes on that position. Dangerous? Ooh, dangerous. Because you see, the North Vietnamese had these radio waves detected. As soon as that guy turned his radio on, they were trying to find him. Because they knew if they could find him, they could probably delay or do something to that strike. Amazing, isn't it? God wants us, my friends, to be his people. We have a mission. We have a mission. We're normal folks, most assuredly. But we have a treasure unspeakable. We have a Savior who at his name, every knee shall bow. Every knee shall bow. And every tongue, whether they confess Jesus Christ or not, they're going to confess it, that Jesus Christ is Lord. Now, some of those folks are going to go to heaven, and some are going to go to hell because they will not obey God. But listen, how many people are going to stand before God Almighty in the judgment seat there and say, nobody ever told me about Jesus? I don't really think that that's possible. There's TV, there's radio, there's all this kind of thing. But maybe it is. But our task is not to be wondering if somebody told them, wondering if somebody encouraged them to come to Bible study, wondering if somebody encouraged them to come to worship, wondering whether or not they had the needs for everyday necessities of life. You know, we have all kinds of things, and we give to all kinds of things. You know, there's the mustard seed, there's the furniture people, all kinds of things. And I've helped people get those things because they needed it. And it's really good that there was a place that we could go. And of course, if I was, as a church, as a pastor, was recommending those people to get that furniture, they got that furniture, if they had it. They didn't just give away furniture for the first guy that walked up to the door and said, I need a table and chairs. It was supposed to be a ministry. And they were ministering. Same thing with the food. Food. The food bank is there not to make us, who have the means to buy our own groceries, to buy cheaper groceries. It's there to help people who can't buy groceries to feed their families. I remember years and years ago, some of our deacons, a lady called, said they need help and all those kind of things. And so I took her name and number and all that kind of stuff. And I'm not sure if it was Elsie or not, but it wasn't all that long ago, Elsie. They went downtown and they gave the food to this girl. And then whoever it was came back and told me, we went into the kitchen. We had these several bags of groceries and a couple of boxes of canned goods and things of that nature. And she asked us, could we take that down to the basement, please? It's hard for me to carry that down the stairs and stuff. And so they took it down the stairs into the basement. And in the basement, here's what they saw. The wall on this side of the basement was full of canned goods. The wall on this side of the basement was full of canned goods. The wall on this side was tables set up that had all kinds of non-perishable dry goods. And so one of our guys said something about, well, ma'am, you don't look like you need any groceries. She said, well, not right now. She says, but I've learned that if I wait till I need, then you won't maybe help me. So I ask all the time, and if I get some help, I put it down there so I'll have the groceries I need. She said, it's so much better to ask around a holiday. Thanksgiving is a good time to ask for food and those kind of things. You see, sometimes these folks figure out how to play the game, don't they? They may not really need anything. I don't know. Person pulled right out here in front one time, and I walked over, and the lady was telling me that she needed some sort of insulin for her husband. And I thought, wow, that sounds dangerous, doesn't it? But just as God would have it, there was a little lady that usually sits right over here and plays that piano. And she walked up, and this girl had this little thing open, had some needles and junk in there, and had that open for me to see that this is what she needed. And Vondell said, what is this for? And so she said it. And she says, you know, none of that's for that at all. She says, if you gave your husband that, you'd kill him. Oh, no, no, no. And then Vondell said, wait a second. My husband is a diabetic too, and I understand exactly what that is. And none of those things is what you need. Rolled the window up and drove off. Just a con. She knew I didn't have any insulin or whatever she was looking for. She was hoping I'd give her $20 or something like that. It's a con. They're all out there, but should that harden our hearts to the needs of those that really have needs? No. We just have to be careful and do all that we can do. If we can provide and see that it gets to the right place and that the need is real as we can possibly understand it to be. Because I do think that one of these days the Lord's going to say, you know that lady that called you up in the middle of the night, blah, 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 and you said, we can't do that, it's too late at night. That's not going to be a good answer on that day, is it? Well, listen, Timothy says, I exhort you, therefore, that first of all, supplications, what's a supplication? The type of prayer, isn't it? Prayers, intercessions, another kind of prayer, and giving of thanks be made for all Christian men. Oh, Lou, did you forget that part, Christian men? No, because it's not there. Be made for who? All men. You see, it's We don't have to worry about some of those kind of things. We're to help everybody that we can. We're to tell everybody that we have, that we know, an encounter of the good news of Jesus. If that person happens to be a believer, fine. They'll soon tell you they are or whatever. That's our mission. That's who we are. And there's a lot of work to be done. A lot of work to be done. I think to myself and shake my head every time I hear the news that states are talking about making laws about abortion. And each one of those states would make an abortion law that the state of Missouri, Illinois, Indiana, whatever, would think would be feasible or whatever they want to do. Yet, there's such an uproar about that because there are some who don't want any laws about timing of abortion and those kind of things. They just want to do it whenever they want to do it. Now, I don't know about you, but I think when a lady is pregnant and about to have a what? Child, then it's a baby. It's not a rabbit. It's not a kitten. It's a human being. And I'm a big lover of history. And some of the things that I see that the Nazis did heading up into before World War II, we're doing right now. You see, the Nazis had to have three doctors sign off. If your child was disabled somehow, maybe mentally handicapped and all those kind of things, they didn't get just one doctor that said, well, go ahead and put them to sleep. They did three. You know why they did that? They were trying to say a preponderance of the medical authorities of this nation think this is right. I'm almost thinking that the preponderance of American doctors in this country think that's right. So, friends, we have a lot to pray about, don't we? We have an election coming up. We've got Democrat, we've got a Republican running and all those kind of things. You may say to yourself, I wish we could just throw both of those guys in a trash. Well, one's a woman, isn't it? Put them in the trash can and start out again. I understand that, but that's what it's going to be, isn't it? That's what it's going to be. Do we have the opportunity and privilege to vote? Yes. I wish that we could have on that ballot, you know, they put those three names down there. And if the preponderance said none of the above, you'd have to start again. That's what I wish. We don't want any of those guys. Start again. Republicans get somebody. Democrats get somebody. But we don't have that on the ballot, do we? So we must pray. And we must take advantage of our citizenship and vote. There are all kinds of folks on that ballot besides the President of the United States. And what they tell us about down ballot ballots is whoever they vote for president, they're probably going to vote the whole ticket that same way. It's very important, isn't it? There's work for us to be done here in America. Wouldn't it be nice someday out there in the future, somebody standing on the corner and they're saying, we'd like to put $52 million into starting churches in Northeast Indiana and be able to do it because God has already found the faithful and given them the money. We've got work to do, friends. Pray for each other. Pray for each other. Pray for our country. Pray for these needs and be faithful. Father, we thank you for who you are. It's utterly amazing to me that you could be even thinking about using somebody like me. It's utterly amazing to me, this thing called grace. It goes beyond my aptitude to be able to understand that this grace is sufficient, even for me. Father, we do pray for our elections coming up in November, very shortly. And we're going to vote. We may not have the people on the ballot that we want on the ballot, but we're going to have to vote. We pray, Father God, that your will be done. We pray, Father, that those down ballot people in Indiana, in different states, that those people would be chosen, not just because they're Republican or Democrat, but because the people of that state knew who they were and were trying to pick the best person. Father, we will trust you in all things, and we thank you for your leadership and your guidance in the past. And Lord, help us to be a mission-seeking people for you, telling the good news of Christ to all. For these things I ask in that precious name of Jesus. Amen. Let's stand and sing. We have an invitation song here this morning. If you have something to make open, make public this morning, don't hesitate, don't delay. If you just want to come up here and use this steps as an altar and pray about something, that's fine. This is your church. This is God's place. All that's acceptable. Let's sing.
Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of Thy love, at the impulse of Thy love. Take my feet and let them be swift and beautiful for Thee. Take my voice and let me sing always only for my King, always only for my King.
I'm going to close this in prayer in just a minute, but I would encourage you to turn to that left and the right this morning, to that neighbor. You've probably been sitting there quietly, so and all this kind of thing, and just say, boy, it was good to see you today, and shake their hand, give them a hug or whatever that's appropriate, and then pass from this place to that place out there. That's the mission field out there. Father, thank you for the beautiful day you've given us, the opportunity, this house, this beautiful facility, these comfortable chairs, this climate-controlled auditorium, all these blessings you so freely give to us. Help us to be faithful in our commissions. Bless all that are here this morning. There are needs here this morning that we know nothing about, but you know our hearts. Touch them. Lift them up. Give them strength, healing maybe, whatever it might be, Father. For these things I ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. 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 Good to see you guys this morning.